like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. Whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Grey Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. One of the things I like about doing this show is, and the fact that I've been doing it for as long as I have, is I often get to catch up with artists who have been on the show years prior and sort of see where they're going and see where they've been. And it almost seems like I can go back, you know, with repeat guests every few years and sort of track their career as musicians that way. And the guests on this episode are, I think you fit into that category quite well in that you've been on the show a few times over the years. But it's been, I think, 4 or 5 years since the last appearance. So I'm sure there's a lot to talk about, and I think the best way to start it off is if the two of you want to introduce yourselves, give a bit of background about what you do, and we can go from there.
Yeah. So I'm Corey.
And I'm Aaron.
And we are Two Crows for Comfort. We're a folk Americana duo based out of Manitoba here. And we've been playing together for, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years. We have no idea. We lose track. Just touring around and just playing as much as we can and writing, recording, do all those things.
Maybe that's a good place to start, is the touring around, because I feel like I follow you on social media, and it seems like every time I happen upon your page or it comes up in my my feed or whatever, you're in some, I don't want to say exotic location, but you're in interesting spots, right? Like, you seem to be not only touring a lot, but also picking sort of, I don't know if they're unusual places or just places that seem maybe a little bit different from the average touring artist that I interview on the show.
Yeah, it's funny. We spend a lot less time. Usually when you're touring, you kind of hit up all the more major cities.
Yeah.
Which is typically the opposite of what we do. We do some of the cities, but we find stranger places than what would be on a normal tour route for sure. We just got back from the far west desert in Texas, down all the way down at the Big Bend National Park. Which is like it's right on the Mexican border. It's in the middle of nowhere.
Very
isolated. So we played a week full of shows down there.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, super isolated ghost town community. And, but those are the places we fall in love with. So we just kind of keep finding those special little places.
Are you actively seeking those out, or do these opportunities just sort of arise, or if you're already in that part of the country sort of thing?
That one specifically was recommended to us by a friend.
The first time we went
there. The very first time.
This was the fourth.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Fourth time. Because we just love it so much. And, but word of mouth and recommendations and stuff comes up a lot. Like, it's hard to play in a lot of cities because they're so saturated and so much competition. It's a lot of times out of those cities that we find a little bit more success. And it's sometimes is just through people being like, hey, I live blank and it's, 45 minutes from whatever major city.
Yeah.
And then it's, it's easier to have better shows there because it's just a little bit less going on in those towns. And a lot of that is just through all the people we've met and just giving us suggestions. And we just kind of, we're willing to go anywhere. So we just kind of say, okay, let's try it. And then, yeah.
Well, I'm sure I've asked you this before, but I feel like your sort of model as a band, in the sense that you have acoustic instruments, you can pretty much just pack up and go. I feel like it lends itself to being able to do those kinds of trips. Whereas if you were, like a 5-piece band all on a bunch of amps around and stuff, you maybe would not be as easy to find those off the beaten path locations.
Yeah, absolutely. We kind of talk about all the time how hard it probably is. Like, it must be. I think it'd be so much fun to tour with a full band. But it's got to be so hard too, like even logistically and where you can play. And we can show up in a tiny little coffee shop that barely we can squeeze into and have a successful night. And not that you can't do that with a bigger band, but I feel like we're just able to be super adaptable because of it.
Yeah.
And play in these kind of niche places where maybe you might not be making $1 million that you need to pay all your band and all your crew. Like, we can afford to make a little less.
And you can do you can stay true to the actual sound of your records too. A lot of people, they could do stripped down tours where they don't have all of that bells and whistles, but the sonically would be different. But what you're doing on record and live, it works, as a pretty basic thing in both senses.
I think so. Yeah.
So obviously, you've been doing this for this undetermined amount of time. And you're still actively out there. You're touring. You're playing a lot of shows. You're releasing music. It's been maybe 4 years since the last time I had you on the show. How have things progressed since then? Because I know you've released more music. And sonically, everything I've heard from you has changed a little bit over the years. And there's been sort of new sounds coming in. And you obviously have this much more experience performing together and writing together and playing together. How would you say the sound has shifted sort of over the time that you've been doing this?
Yeah, I think I feel like we've just been able to, it's hard because I want to say simplify, but I feel like we've gotten more intelligent with arrangement and how we, and more so like our live performance.
Okay.
Intelligence, I don't mean that, sounds kind of arrogant, I don't mean it that way, but I just feel like it's more our record stuff is always, it's changed a little bit, but I feel like our live sound is it's still true to what we were doing at the start, but it feels, and maybe it's just from playing so much for years and years, it just feels more, I'm trying to find the right word. I don't know. Maybe it's just comfortability in that.
Maybe.
That the sound itself hasn't really changed, but the quality, I guess, because we've done so much. I don't know. It's a good question. I'm trying to think of the right answer.
And it's also part, kind of that hard thing with recordings of, you're right, where we can try and make ourselves, as the duo, sort of reflect that sound, but also we don't always, it's hard to do that, but we also sometimes feel like the album isn't, when someone might listen to the album, it doesn't necessarily always reflect our live show. So
sure.
We just take we love the touring. That's our main, we just love it. We love the live performance. So it's I don't know. The live shows, I feel like where we would maybe be able to have tracked our journey of it.
Yeah, I think that's probably where our where we've sonically changed the most.
Okay.
Just having a stronger live show. I think our records, we've always been obviously proud of them, but we've never been insanely stoked on them. it's we've always trying to balance. You kind of mentioned earlier being able to pull off being a duo but still do our records. We've always tried to balance that. I feel like we haven't written the next record, but we have most of it written.
Okay.
Or we haven't recorded it, but most of it's written. I feel like we finally maybe figured out what we want to do that's recorded but also similar to our live sound, and that's taken this long to do. So maybe we finally figured that out. We'll see. We haven't recorded it, so we'll see.
Waking up's easy when you soundly sleeping.
Next to me, my dear, next to me, my dear.
Say what you mean as you stare at the ceiling and
whisper in my ear, whisper in my ear. I'll go if you go next to me.
Sauce for the stealing when you are there dreaming.
Next to me, my dear, next to me, my dear.
Take what you need, then you kiss me when leaving. And
whisper in my ear, whisper in my ear. I'll go, you go next
next to me. Don't need to look for the love in your eyes. Look for the love in your eyes. Waking up's easy, you soundly sleeping.
Next to me, my dear. Next to me, my dear.
Say what you mean as you stare at the ceiling and
whisper in my ear, whisper in my ear. You go next to me.
Notice the changes, or do you sort of wake up one day and be like, hey, that song is really good? Or is it sort of obvious that you're getting tighter, or you're getting, you know, maybe the harmonies are better, maybe the songwriting is stronger, whatever it is that's sort of been developed over time? Or is it just kind of because you're together all the time, I mean, and you're playing all these shows, like, is it noticeable that there's been whether it's improvements or shifts or anything in the sound?
For me, I really notice it when we take a pause. Like, if we pause, like, we don't typically have a lot of long breaks in our schedule. But we had, like, I want to say, like, November, December was quiet for us. We were home. We were up in Winnipeg Beach here. And we hadn't played for, like, a good month. And then we went and played, and I was like, holy smokes, we are rusty. We're not tight. We're not polished. All these things. And I was like, that's where I notice it.
Okay.
I don't really notice it over time. Like, if we're playing steady, like, we'll play steady, you know, several gigs a week. For months and months and months, it's when we take that pause that I'm like, holy smokes, we need to brush up, we need to be tighter. When we're playing, I don't really notice it, but
like when we're
we can tell we feel good, like we feel good and comfortable, but it's truly when we take a pause that I'm like, okay, we got to be better.
And then how long does it take to get back up to snuff after that? Like, it's got to be pretty quick, I imagine, eh?
Yeah, it's usually pretty quick. Yeah, I would say a couple nights. Like, the first night, and it depends on the material, too. Like, we do some shows where it's like, we're just slinging covers for a couple hours. And then that's kind of easy, because those are always in the back of our mind. But if we have to, like, we also do super intimate shows where we're talking a lot about the songs. And sometimes it'll take me a couple nights to get comfortable with the story aspect of that, too. And like, breathing, because we talk so much and we're obviously sing so much. I was like, I don't remember how to breathe properly when we're doing this, and run out of breath. And so usually after a couple nights, it feel pretty good. But yeah.
So if people want to see you on tour, they should wait till after the first couple of shows.
Yeah, don't do the kickoff show.
Yeah.
Definitely don't do the kickoff show. No, we're like, only if we haven't played in a while.
Right.
Yeah.
So how much of the year would you say you're on the road? Because it does seem like, again, just from sort of following you online, you seem to be in a lot of places that aren't here.
Yeah, that's a good question. We kind of changed our plan a bit.
Yeah, we spent 2022 and 2023. I think 2022 we were 8 months like fully away, because we went away in our little camper, and then the next year 9 months of the year gone. Cool. This past, and then the next year was maybe 4, but then 2 at another time.
Yeah, we kind of changed, like, instead of doing one big chunk, it was like gone for a few months, home for a few weeks, gone for a month, home for a couple weeks, like, but we're still gigging around Manitoba.
Yeah,
so that, I have no idea, like, we're probably consistently gigging. I mean, we're basically consistently gigging for a few years, like, nonstop. Now we're a little bit quieter because we're based here now, and we can kind of come and go a little bit more, as opposed to just trying to
smaller shows instead of one giant one.
Yeah.
it's a big undertaking to plan that kind of chunk of time.
I imagine, yeah.
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 This is just like my own selfish interest because I love Winnipeg Beach, but how long have you been there? Like I used to, my parents had a cottage there when I was a kid. I spent like most of my summers there. I love that town. How long have you been living out there?
We've been here. We bought this little place in, was it summer of 24?
Yeah.
Fall of 23.
Yeah.
And we owned it for 10 days. It was like, it needed a lot of work. And we owned it for like 10 days and then we were leaving for 9 months. So it wasn't really until almost a year later that we actually started being in here and doing some renovations and that. So like we've actually been residents since, you know, 24 or spring or summer of 24.
Okay.
So not that, but long enough to infiltrate the community and.
But less than a year have we been like in the house with like renovated and like ready.
Yeah. We're still super new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what is it like being in that community, you know, as creative people, when I mean, obviously there's a lot of people who do live there, but I mean, the bulk of the population is there for the summer and then gone, right? And so there's a lot of things that, I know you're on tour for part of the year anyway, but there's a lot of things around that whole area that are just non-existent, aside from a few months sort of in the height of the summer. What is that like? I mean, are there local shows you can play? Are there opportunities sort of in the off-season locally for you in the Interlake area and stuff?
Yeah, like here specifically, a new restaurant opened up and we've actually played there quite a few times.
Oh, cool.
Called Midnight Annie's.
Is that where Valentino's used to be?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Yeah. So that has a wicked little stage, a wicked sound system. And we've had some really, really fun shows there. And like the community here, there's so little to do here in the winter.
Yeah.
That like on music nights, every single time is, you can't get in, like reservations, they're sold out, like there's good luck getting a table, which is great. Like the community loves it, which is super cool. That's really been really nice. And then the Ship and Plow up in Gimli, obviously we're playing there on the 24th of April.
Cool.
With a friend from Victoria.
Yeah. With a friend. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's sweet too. I mean, the Ship and Plow right there for music, and they're legendary with getting everybody that goes plays there is like, you know, cross the country or Manitoba legends.
For sure. Yeah. I'm jealous of, I look at their, I follow them online too. And I look at a lot of their stuff and it's like, oh, I wish I was in Gimli right now.
But
it's pretty cool.
I know the shows they put on, like literally multiple shows a week. It's
really just
all the best artists in the province. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's been a little while since I've seen either of my folks. We'd sit around just making jokes about the glory days. Sometimes it's hard to smile, 'cause things don't seem to run like we hoped. We jumped the gun, I sail in darkest days. Countless hours a road I know, a little bit longer I take things slow. One more stop at the Texaco, a few more miles and I'll be home. Strangers, this crazy world may be full of danger, but here don't feel that way. These ones will remember, so grateful for the time we've had, and hate to say goodbye to the friends we've made. Countless hours the road I know, a little bit longer, I take things slow. One more stop at the Texaco, a few more miles and I'll be home. Hold my hand in prayer and hope I get there safe and take things slow. Just one more stop at the Texaco, a few
few more miles and I'll be home. It's been a little while since I've seen either of my folks. We'll sit around just making jokes till the summer ends. Countless hours, the road I know, a little bit longer, I take things slow. One more stop at the Texaco, a few more miles and I'll be home. Hold my hand in prayer and hope I get there safe and take things slow. Just one more stop at the Mexico, a few more miles and I'll be home. Countless hours, the road I know, a little bit longer, I take things slow. Just one more stop at the Texaco, a few more miles and I'll be home. Hold my head in prayer and hope, I get there safe and take things slow. One more stop at the Texaco, a few more miles and I'll be home.
Does living where you do, does it influence you as far as songwriting, whether it's like overtly or you know, just maybe subconsciously? Do you feel like having this kind of semi-isolation in a community without a lot of people?
Yeah, I mean, I love the summers. It's a totally different story. It's just bustling and like good luck isolating here. But in the winter is just a ghost town. Like our streets are so quiet. There's only a few full-time residents on our street. So it's like we could literally just sit in our house, and especially with the flexibility of what we do, that pure isolation is like the best for just sitting and trying to write. No distractions, barely any traffic on the roads going by. It's so quiet. I love it. I love it a lot. Yeah.
Does it help conceptually too, or is it just being able to get into the kind of the brain space for it?
So far, just the brain space. I'm sure there'll be something that will pop in. Sometimes it just takes me a long time to be inspired by my surroundings, but I'm sure there will be. So far, it's just the isolation, which I crave sometimes, which has been awesome.
Yeah, I can see that out there. I mean, like I was usually there in the summers, but I mean, I have been there in Gimli and other places like that in the winter, and it is that kind of just barrenness is sort of awesome.
Yeah, it's nice. It's quiet. It's dang quiet, and I love it. Yeah.
One of the things that about your music in general that is that like it always seems to me like, even if I'm listening to one of your songs and it starts off with one of you singing, it seems like pretty much every song has both of you, maybe not equally on the vocals, but there's definitely, I find it's rare in your catalog to have one where it's just one of you sort of highlighted, and you're both very involved vocally, especially in every song. How do you write? Is everything written together, or does one of you bring a song idea and then you sort of develop it as the two of you, or how does that work?
It's typically I'll do the like all the initial writing. There's times when I'll come to Aaron and just like, hey, help me fill this out. Most of it is like I'll come with a pretty solid structure and lyrical on that. And then Aaron comes in and I'm like, I'm not singing this. I need like, I'll write it beyond my capabilities for sure. And I'll be like, here's kind of a generic melody. Just do whatever you want and make this better, because you will make it better. And then we just polish things over time. Like, you know, how the song starts is after playing it for 2 months, it's the same, but it's changed a lot. And that's just kind of, we just kind of bounce that off each other live. We'll play it for a couple of nights and be like, let's try this. Or I'm going to go this direction, follow me.
That sort of brings up another question then is how, you know, you've been doing this as long as you have previous records, with a lot of material on them. How many of the songs are, how long do these songs stick around? Are you still playing songs from your first album? And then if yes, are they recognizable, you know, to how they were when you first wrote them?
Yeah, I think so. Like there's definitely, from the very first album, there's probably
four or five.
I would say, yeah, I would. It depends, because sometimes we bring back the super deep, what we thought are like deep cuts in our favorite songs that we never play.
Yeah.
We'll bring those back. Like, we started doing one a couple times very recently that's like, we just never play it. But some of like the main songs from that album, we will still play in our set today. I can think of three off the top of my head that I'm like, these are still, we feel really good about these, and they actually probably haven't changed that
the first album.
Yeah,
I think the first album stayed for a while. We one song that has always been a staple in the set from the first album is Mountains of Stone. Mm-hmm. And we, for a time period, we played it fully, we like fully changed the ending, and then we played it like that for a while.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden one day we were like, let's try and do it the other way. And I was like, I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah, that's true.
Then we did switch it back, I think.
Yeah, we did.
But sometimes we play around with things, or we'll mess around with intros. Like,
yeah, we'll change up the intros or the solo sections. Or
definitely just... all recognizable.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. The song. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But it's fun to change around some of the older stuff that we have been playing for that many years. Yeah. And just like...
Yeah, the arrangements will typically change, but you'll know what it is.
Yeah.
Right, you don't do the Bob Dylan thing where it's a song that, like, yeah, people have heard 100 times. Yes. They have no clue what it is anymore. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What makes a song make the cut to sort of be continued in your set? I mean, like, well, you know, it might not be something you're conscious thinking about either, but, I mean, some of these songs from the date back 7, 8, 9 years, do you think there's something about them that makes them sort of withstand time and changes in your sound and growth as artists?
Yeah, I think, like... feel like we have a pretty good sense of, and it's not always about just doing what people seem to like, but I mean, that obviously is a big part of it. I feel like we have a good sense of, we don't necessarily know what's going to connect, but we know when it does connect.
Sure.
That, like, you just tell by reaction. Like, we'll try a song a few times, even if it's like a new one, and we're like, this just isn't working. Is it us? Is it them? We don't know. And then there's some songs that you're just like, oh man, they were hanging on to that. They were listening to every single word, whatever it is. I don't know. We kind of just, and we try to play all the songs live quite a bit first to get that sense. And then that's how we'll know if it'll make the cut.
I also think a little bit of a piece of it, specifically for like kind of what Corey was saying before. Sometimes we do nights where like we're just playing covers or a mixture or whatever. But when we're doing our more intimate or like, attentive, really like shows that we are our more favorite type of shows to do, I think a lot of the songs like are connected in a way that you can weave like the story between them. Okay. And so I think that's part of it as well. Like, even across all three albums, like this song from album one can lead into this song from album three, can lead into this song from album two. And that, I think, people do enjoy that side of it and being able to sort of
that's probably ties into what songs we're still playing from the first album, that because there definitely is a cohesiveness. Like, sometimes it feels like some nights, if we tailor our set list properly, it's like 2 hours of a concept album
it
can almost feel like and then maybe that's just why it works sometimes too. And
is that how planned is that, or are you just happening to write about things that mesh well together,
I guess? Or maybe I just don't have very many ideas and I'm just rewriting same the
subject
same
matter over and over again. Yeah,
that's possible.
Yeah,
that's very possible. I would say not thought of at all, either lucky or again, idea quantity is low.
Yeah, that's
but we kind of almost just realized that a little bit more recently.
That's very recent.
Like, it was sort of a recent realization, just I think from doing more of those style of shows and kind of then all planning, well, actually that song into this one. And I think that's also part of some of the new songs that will be on the next album, that sort of we started playing those and we were kind of just like, oh yeah, actually that song into that is fun. Like, it may, so maybe I think that's kind of what on that, like, oh wait, and then like look at that song into that one.
That makes sense. It does make sense. I don't think it's like, I mean, I know we're joking about not having ideas for songs, but I don't think it's that unreasonable for someone to have sort of subject matter that they often go to as, or not even subject matter, but sounds and vibes, if you want to call it that sort of, I mean, you can write what you know, right? So if what you know matches with the other thing you know, then it's gonna sync up well together. I think so. So you mentioned, you know, you have new songs, you haven't recorded them yet. What sort of timeline are you looking at as far as eventually putting out another record? Or is it too early to?
January 2026.
2026.
We're a little bit behind schedule.
Took me a second there.
Yeah, a little bit behind. My goal was to, throughout the winter, finish, like, I feel good about 8 songs now, I think. 3 of them or 4 of them Aaron hasn't even heard yet.
Okay.
But I feel pretty good about, I would say, 8. So I want to finish at least 10. And then the goal was to record it this winter. And this winter is closing pretty quickly. So I don't know. I wish we had... I probably do need to set a timeline or a deadline, because otherwise it's just so easy to push back. But we just get so busy with other stuff. The other things get in the way. And then we toured a lot that it's just like bouncing in and out of those modes of tour mode versus planning for the tour and prepping for the tour versus getting home and just isolating and writing and recording. Like,
yeah,
for me, it's just two totally different mindsets that I have a hard time, unless I'm dedicated to it for a pretty good chunk. It's hard for me to flip flop. Like if we were to come home from tour and then be like, okay, we're going to record one song and then sit for a month and not do anything. Like I'm not
get into the
I don't
zone.
Love that.
Yeah.
So I'd rather, you know, have this already and then say, okay, we're not gigging for a month, whatever the time, whatever it is, a month, 2 weeks, whatever. And then we are not leaving. We're just recording. So hopefully I don't know when that'll happen. Soon for sure.
Okay.
We're getting close to, I would say we're close to being ready. But then the whole process after that obviously is long, the mixing, mastering, getting the physical copies.
For sure. So at some point in the future, the good thing about
it'll
this...
It'll be in the future.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
This is a podcast, so someone could hear it the day it comes out, or they could hear it a year from now. Maybe by then you'll be closer to it. Who knows, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
So, yeah.
It might forever be in the future.
That's right.
If they're
listening
to 3 years from now, it still could be the future.
Yeah, but by the time I eventually get you back on the show again, it'll be maybe it'll exist then, yeah.
We might, by 4 years later, if we could do this again in 4 years, we might have it ready by then.
Okay. I think that's a fair.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll set that deadline.
Yeah.
Stay out too late. Streetlights flood the summer sky. I'm in no hurry to get home. Talk all night long without even speaking to each other. You could read my mind all alone. Promise the world that we'd make it. Your heart's on your name, but we break it, we break it. It was easier than these days. Ten years move fast. I'm scared to see your face in this. So many things I wanted to say. How's your family? Last week spoken, he was troubled. How's your brother keeping these days? Glad that you're well and you made it. I say the same, but I'm faking. It was easier than these days. Loving hurts, it never works these days. Myself and I did a little better than my best. I have tendencies to drive people away, and I haven't seen them figure out yet. Promise my world that I'd make it.
So falling down as I'm breaking, it was easier than these days. Loving hurts, it never works these days. It was easier than these days.
If people are hearing you for the first time on the show, or if they're hearing you again and want to check out your music, what's the best way to for them to do that? Where would you direct them?
I mean, we hate to say it, but, you know, Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, wherever you stream music is. Let's say Bandcamp, number one.
Bandcamp is, yeah.
That's the best way we can get, we want people to. But sadly, that's not the majority right now. Basically, just put our name in whatever streaming service or Google or YouTube or whatever, Two Crows for Comfort. That's just the easiest way to do it.
And then I imagine people can pick up physical copies at shows. Yes. And
Yeah, at shows, vinyl, CD. Yeah.
Cool.
Let's see, we'll mail it. We'll do whatever to get you a copy of our CD. Come on, we know.
Nice.
We'll do anything.
Awesome. And, you know, because this show exists perpetually, and it could be 10 years from now by the time people listen to this, where should they go to find out information about upcoming shows and upcoming releases and things like that?
Yeah. Probably just our website, www.twocrowsforcomfort.com. We have all our shows are listed on there. You can get links to tickets. You can see what we're up to, future shows, past shows, videos, things like that. That's usually just the best, I think. Instagram, Facebook, social media.
Cool.
Just find on there. We try to be somewhat consistent in posting.
I feel like I see your pictures of tour stuff and dogs, and that's definitely
pretty much it.
Enough.
That's mainly it. It's like selfies if we need somebody to really see what we're trying to promote.
And then
it's our dog, other dogs.
Just dogs, a lot of dogs.
I think that's why I see so much of your stuff, because I follow lots of dog accounts on the internet.
They're like, he's gonna love this.
Exactly. So if you like dogs and folk music, you should check out Two Crows for Comfort.
Yeah.
This old house is lonely when only I'm here. Be there at my bedside this time last year. Never coming back. Forgive me for my cursing, the worst things I said. Wish that I could make it, but face it, I beg. Smiling face in the places we've been, places we've been. Never come back.
Never come.